Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
We're going to Rome next, where access to queues to file past the coffin of Pope Francis will soon close ahead of his state funeral tomorrow that'll see royalty and dignitaries from across the world and hundreds of thousands of clergy and pilgrims attending and billions of people watching on from across the world also. The death and funeral of the popular pontiff from Argentina is seen as a major moment in history, as well as the future shaping of the church, as John Cook has been hearing from those gathered in the Vatican throughout the week. And we're going to go back to St. Peter's Square live now to John Cook. What's the latest going on, John, for Pope Francis's funeral tomorrow?
Well, Sarah, there are still large crowds pouring into St. Peter's Square and into the Via de Conciliazione, where I am now, the avenue leading up to it, though they have limited time now to pay their last respects, because soon the church will close, the Basilica will close ahead of this evening's ceremonies. There's tight security around us, there's helicopters circling overhead, and it's all about this list of dignitaries that's been released by the Vatican in the last short while. As regarding who is coming, we've heard some of the big names already, but they're confirming up over 160 foreign delegations coming here in a list sent to me within the last few minutes. So who's coming? Well, the Taoiseach, the Tánaiste and the President, Michael D. Higgins, as well as Northern Ireland's First Minister Michelle O'Neill, say they will be here tomorrow. President Higgins and his wife Sabina arrived this afternoon and paid their respects to Pope Francis in the Basilica of St. Peter. President Higgins had met the Pope five times. He said he was pleased to communicate the appreciation of all the people of Ireland for the life, the documents and the contacts to the most vulnerable he made all over the world. He said that the world was struck by the generosity shown by Pope Francis right up until the very... I'm just live on radio, sir. Excuse me. So I'm sorry, I'm being moved along here.
That's Sarah. Okay, John. So, I can hear it's very busy there in the background as well.
Can you give me a couple of minutes? Okay, you're going to...
You're being moved, John, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to help you, sir.
Okay. I'm live on the radio here on RT Radio 1 in Ireland, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, as you're being moved along there, John, I know that the news has come in as well that Israel is only going to be represented by its ambassador tomorrow, because obviously relations between Israel and the Vatican have deteriorated quite a bit since the outbreak of the war in Gaza. You had Pope Francis, who was particularly critical of Israel's actions in the Palestinian territories. And I also believe US President Donald Trump is going to be there with his wife, Melania. They may be on their way as we
speak.
I'll
tell you a bit more.
Yeah. Go on ahead, yeah.
Yeah, I've moved out of the way into safety here again. You get moved along a lot in this particular part of Rome at the moment because it is very busy, Sarah. Yes, as you were saying, Israel will only be represented by its ambassador because relations between Israel and the Vatican had deteriorated since the outbreak of the war in Gaza. There was also reports of Israel's foreign ministry posting a short message on Twitter or X, "Rest in peace, Pope Francis, may his memory be a blessing." But several hours later, it was deleted, and it seemed to add further fuel to reports of tensions between Israel and the Vatican over Pope Francis' frequent criticism of Israel's conduct during the war in Gaza. But the Israeli foreign minister declined to comment on that deletion. US President Donald Trump, who you mentioned, and his wife Melania are in the air now. It's the first international trip of his second presidential term, seen as a bit of a political minefield, as he'll come face to face with dozens of foreign leaders in the Vatican amid the escalating trade war he's unleashed and ongoing tense negotiations over global conflicts in Gaza, as we mentioned, and Ukraine. Britain's Prince William, he'll be representing his father, King Charles. Britain's Prime Minister Keir Starmer as well coming. Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky. Pope Francis and the Ukrainian president had last met in October of 2024. The former US President Joe Biden and Dr. Jill Biden planned to attend. He was a lifelong Catholic who'd met the Pope several times. Also, the EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, Javier Milei, the Conservative President of Pope Francis' native Argentina, Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni has cancelled a state visit to Uzbekistan to be at the funeral. She paid her respects here yesterday as well. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, and many more four leaders and world royals to come, Sarah. Some bilateral meetings for Donald Trump, we're told, might happen on the sidelines of the funeral, but President Macron says he will not be hosting any such meetings. So expect lots of headlines in terms of global affairs as well as the Pope's funeral from here in the Vatican tomorrow.
OK, and just finally, John, and briefly, can you tell me about the security with all those people there? I can't imagine.
Yeah, already St. Peter's Basilica is surrounded by barriers to control the crowds. The security checks have increased. You heard me being moved along there, but the defence and security mechanisms have been deployed right across Rome and in the skies above the city. The helicopters continue to circle. There are anti-drone weapons, a no-fly zone patrolled by fighter jets, jamming technologies, anti-terrorism and anti-sabotage units already on the ground. More than 2,000 police officers patrolling here between now and the end of the conclave, we're told, supported by 400 traffic police officers, also many hundreds of volunteers controlling lines and providing assistance to pilgrims. And Italy's Minister for Civil Protection said today the government estimated that the security operation would cost at least 5 million euros, Sarah.
Okay, well, John, we'll be talking to you again after 6 o'clock. You might find somewhere that you can stand that you're not going to be moved from. But thank you. I wish you luck
looking.
With that. Indeed. Thank you very much. That's John Cook reporting from Rome. And we're going back to Rome now, where John Cook has been speaking to locals and visitors ahead of Pope Francis's funeral tomorrow. And John, 3 days of the late Pope's lying in state, it's come to an end.
Yes, Sarah, as you join me, it's just gone 7 o'clock local time here in Rome, just after six, of course, at home. And public viewing of the mortal remains of Pope Francis is coming to an end after over 150,000, we were told earlier today by midday. We don't have final figures yet as to how many have filed past his coffin over the last 3 days. But the big screens erected at St. Peter's Basilica here ahead of tomorrow's funeral have just gone blank. They were showing coverage of the filing past his coffin inside up until now. They've gone blank, indicating that what happens now is a private ceremony led by eight cardinals in which the face of Pope Francis will be covered with a white silk veil. His body will be sprinkled with holy water. Items like coins and medals minted during his 12-year pontificate will be placed in his coffin, along with what's described as a special deed listing the key points of his papacy before the coffin is sealed. It's a zinc-lined wooden coffin, said to be more simple than vessels carrying previous popes who were buried in three interlocking caskets made of cypress, lead and oak. And tomorrow morning that coffin will be taken from the Basilica and into public view in St. Peter's Square for his funeral mass that I'll tell you more about later on. First, though, I want to tell you about more of the last of the pilgrims that I've been meeting as they made their way out of St. Peter's, having been among the last few to pay their respects. I met Bishop William McGrattan. He's president of the Conference of Bishops in Canada. His ancestors, he told me, were from Portaferry in County Down, and he was blessing a young Colombian couple as I passed him as well. I asked him what the last few days and the days to come tomorrow will be like for him here in Rome.
What you're seeing is people's sentiment, their sense of gratitude for his leadership. Just in the Basilica this morning, it's just been moving to see the number of people who have gone through.
And I've seen people bringing pictures of loved ones as well. They want other people who can't be here to feel close, because everyone felt some connection to Pope Francis, it seems.
That's correct. And a number of people have stopped me and asked for blessings. And the same thing is that they have pictures of their loved ones and they just ask for that blessing. It's an outpouring, I think, of the fact that people feel connected, even in times of loss, and the need to pray and to be somewhat united in that understanding that God, who has created us, wants us to return to Him. And so our prayers, our presence to those who have died is significant and important for us, as well as praying for them.
There are many, many clergy, hundreds if not thousands, involved in tomorrow's state funeral that Pope Francis asked would be a more simplified funeral than other papal funerals in the past. Do you know what that might entail, or will we see something that looks different?
I think it will have some of the ceremony of past celebrations of funerals for popes. At the same time, we know that it's a simple coffin. I think the most significant is, you know, the final prayers of commendation, and then the body and the coffin will be taken to St. Mary Major. I think that speaks of the fact that the Holy Father, you know, wanted simplicity, his closeness to Mary, the fact that he wants to be buried there. Sort of speaks in symbolic ways, and that's what a liturgy, the funeral mass, does.
And that he's going through the streets of Rome tomorrow, part of the ordinary Rome, some people have said to me, the ordinary people, he wants to be among them too.
Yes, it's true, and I think they're coming out in droves now today, but as the body is taken to St. Mary Major, there will be throngs of people along the road as his coffin is taken there. It's truly amazing and significant.
And I think that moment there that Bishop McGrattan is talking about will be one of the most significant differences about this papal funeral, a major logistical operation and a massive occasion to watch for the people of Rome, as Pope Francis will be buried in the Basilica of Santa Maria Maggiore, as was his wish. No other pope has been buried outside the Vatican in over 120 years. So the funeral cortege will travel at a walking pace along a 5-kilometre route, watched by spectators, past some of Rome's historic monuments, including the Colosseum, with groups, we're told, representing the poor and oppressed, to be waiting on the steps of the Basilica to welcome him before a private burial service, after which his tomb, made with materials from the Italian region where his grandparents came from, it will bear only a cross and the name Franciscus. I also met a proud citizen of Rome, Elisabetha, coming out of St. Peter's today, and I asked her how locals feel about this symbolic final journey planned for tomorrow.
These are the people of Pope Francis. And you can see the people grateful for all of this.
You managed to pay your respects, to say your goodbye to Pope Francis. How long did you have to wait in line?
Oh, we made 2.5 hours a line. People was calm and with all the devotion. Devotion, is it right? Okay. They were 2.5 hours.
Tomorrow, for the state funeral, Pope Francis' coffin will be brought through the streets of Rome, past some of the historical sites like the Colosseum, towards the Basilica of Santa Maria Maggiore. How do people in Rome feel about that, that he will be among them, that they will all get to share in that final procession?
I think there will be many people. The Romans are grateful to the Pope, always, always. We love the Pope, and you will see tomorrow. That would be a fantastic day. You will see.
Where will you be for the funeral?
Tomorrow we will see by TV.
Okay.
We will stay at home.
Grazie. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Elisabetha there, she said she was a very proud Roman today. And among the last group of pilgrims coming out in the last hour to file past Pope Francis' coffin, I met a proud Irish family from Cork, from Carrignavar in Cork, Joanne Owen and Lewis Crowley, who had just come from Medjugorje to be here in Rome today.
We had planned to come to the canonization of Carlo Acutis, and then we just kept our plans when we heard about the papal. The lads trying to convince me that it's less probable that you have a papal funeral than you have a canonization. So
I'm not sure. I suppose they're all pretty unique events, aren't they?
That's true, buddy. There's 2 or 3 already scheduled for this year, so hopefully we'll keep the popes alive for that.
Now tell me, you're among the last group coming out as the bells are tolling here to stop access to St. Peter's Basilica there. So how was that experience for you?
It was just amazing inside now. It's just getting the entire place itself is just amazing, the basilica and the whole lot. It was great to be in there.
What about yourself, Joanne? What did you think?
Great. There was great peace in there. We were very fortunate. We got 5 o'clock Mass at the very end. So we got Holy Mass just behind the main altar. There was another little altar. And so we were delighted to get to get Mass in there as well.
Okay. Did you get a moment? It's only a moment. It happened so quickly for everybody, for hundreds of thousands of people, to say their final farewell or to say a little prayer. Or what did you do?
We just had a few minutes to say a quick prayer. But as I said, it was lovely then to get Holy Mass afterwards.
Lewis, what did you think of the experience, Lewis?
It was interesting. Like, there's only been, 262 other papal funerals compared to thousands of canonizations. So it's a more unique weekend than we expected.
And would you have had a particular faith in Pope Francis or a connection to him? A lot of young people seem to admire him.
I wouldn't really have any connection to him because papacy, like it's a higher order than I am. I don't know what's going on at his level.
You're pleased to be here all the same.
Yeah.
And why is it important to be here, Joanne, for yourselves, for this? It is a moment in history, I know, but what does it mean to you? There's probably many Irish people at home, many of your family who'd like to be here or ask you to pray for them, I'm sure. Do you feel good to be able to do that?
It's good to be here and to have some time to pray. And we met a family who had flown over from Chicago just for the papal funeral. And we met a lady who had flown over from Dublin purely for the papal funeral.
Thanks to the Crowleys from Carrignavar in Cork for speaking to me there. One of many Irish families and groups I've met here over the past week ahead of the state funeral of Pope Francis. They plan to be here too. They asked indeed if I had tickets to get inside. I'm afraid I don't. But I will tell you a little bit more about the funeral mass tomorrow. There's a strict dress code in place in terms of very formal black suits and dresses, veils for the ladies, no jewellery other than pearls. There will be strict and solemn protocols required, and world leaders sitting in alphabetical order, though they'll be led by the President of Italy and Argentina, where Pope Francis came from. This will be a funeral of a pastor, not a sovereign, as requested by Pope Francis, according to a statement issued on behalf of cardinals who met today when they spoke about his final request for this funeral, this Requiem Mass that will take place tomorrow. Choirs will sing in Latin. The Mass will be led by 91-year-old Italian Cardinal Giovanni Battista Re. He'll give the homily as well. There'll be 220 cardinals, 750 bishops and priests. Also among the cardinals, Dublin-born Kevin Farrell, the man who's been to the forefront of these ceremonies in the absence of a pope here in the Vatican. Prayers will be offered for all people and all nations, we're told, to persevere in seeking a path of peace. Cardinal Ray will give the final commendation, asking God to grant Pope Francis, whom you made successor of Peter and shepherd of your church, happiness forever in your presence in heaven. He'll sprinkle the coffin with holy water and incense, with choirs singing the traditional commendation, which listeners will know from Catholic funerals. May the angels lead you into paradise. May martyrs come and welcome you into the holy city, the new and eternal Jerusalem. It's going to be a very poignant affair. It's going to be a massive global event tomorrow. And in simpler terms to those final commendations, I've been seeing some messages left by people at a makeshift grotto beside me here near St. Peter's this evening. People leaving flowers, candles, pictures and a crucifix with Pope Francis and messages written beside. One Irish pilgrim saying to me today in a very simple message that we all know, Yes, Jay, go Rawa Anam. The poster underneath this makeshift shrine simply says, Grazie, Papa Francesco. We'll bring you full live coverage of the state funeral of Pope Francis here on RTE Radio 1 from 8:30 tomorrow morning. Sarah, it's back to you.
John, thank you very much. And indeed, thank you so much for your coverage from Rome all week on this programme. We'll take a break.